In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My best friend from seminary is now an English professor in Indiana, and he has a 7-year-old son who doesn't really enjoy church very much. And when my friend asked his son recently what he doesn't like about church, the boy said, "Jesus is really all about peace, and I'm more of an action guy." In today's gospel reading from John, known as the cleansing of the temple, Jesus is very much an action guy. In fact, this may be Jesus at his most action-y in the entire Bible. Hopefully, my friend is bringing his son to church today so we can hear this story in action, so to speak. In John's gospel, the cleansing of the temple happens at a different time than it does in the other gospels, not towards the end of Jesus' ministry, but right at the beginning. In fact, some biblical scholars believe that this difference suggests that Jesus cleansed the temple twice. In John's version, there's no sense that those who are selling animals for sacrifice are doing anything corrupt. In fact, Jewish law practically required it, since Jews who lived far from Jerusalem couldn't practically bring an animal all the way to the holy city, but could sell an animal in their hometown and then bring the money to Jerusalem to buy a goat or a dove to offer for sacrifice. So why is Jesus so intent on driving away this activity that the Jewish law almost necessitates? We might ask Jesus the same question that those poor goat mongers were likely asking him. What are you doing? What is it that you want? In our own religious history in the Christian church, we've had our moments of feeling the need to throw over the tables in the temple. In England and other parts of Western Europe in the 16th and 17th centuries, Protestants would sometimes enter churches and tear down or destroy beautiful and often valuable religious artwork, believing that it had drawn the people away from the true worship of God. The pendulum has swung back in recent years, and it's now quite common to see icons of Christ and the saints in churches that would never have had them 50 years ago. Some of you who have been at Grace that long might have noticed this trend. So what's the right balance between interior prayer and exterior religious practice that involves things like candles and altar hangings and religious imagery and, God forbid, incense? Elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus tells those whom he has healed to go to the temple and show themselves to the priests and offer the appointed sacrifices. So Jesus is clearly not against temple worship per se. But in John's Gospel, he reorients worship in two directions. Inward, toward what he calls in chapter 4, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And outward, towards Jesus himself. He does that both in today's reading when he says, "Stop making my father's house a marketplace," and also refers to building up the temple in 3 days, by which he means himself. He does a similar reorienting just 2 chapters later, in chapter 4, when he tells the Samaritan woman at the well, "The hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." And then tells her that he himself is the Messiah that she has been expecting. Again, a reorienting away from rote ritual observance towards something that might be called honest and loving words and actions. There's an old joke about a newly married couple celebrating Easter together for the first time. And the husband prepares to make the ham roast for turkey, and he slices off an end of the ham roast before putting it in the pan and throws it away. And his wife says, "Why did you do that?" And he says, "I don't know. My mother always did that." She says, "Call your mom. Ask her. I'm curious." So he calls his mother and says, "Mom, why do we slice the end off the ham roast and throw it away before putting it in the oven?" And she says, "I don't know. Your grandmother always does that." "Call your grandma. Ask her." So he calls up his grandmother. He says, "Grandma, why do we slice the end off the ham roast before putting it in the pan and putting it in the oven? She says, well, my pan isn't big enough. From time to time, we need to refocus our lives on what really matters, which is how I understand those words of Jesus that we are to worship in spirit and truth. We may have begun doing something for a good reason, like that ham-slicing grandmother who wanted to get the roast into the fit in the pan, but that reason is no longer important or even there at all. Which isn't to say that we need to follow the example of those Reformation iconoclasts and smash images of the saints. In fact, please don't. But we do need to ask ourselves, am I doing this? Am I saying this for the right reasons? And by doing this, am I following in the path of Jesus? There was no need for that mother and her son to cut a slice off their Easter hams every year. And in fact, you could say it was counterproductive. What are we doing in our lives that may not be helping us and may even be counterproductive, spiritually or otherwise? Jesus, of course, chose quite a dramatic way of showing that people need to refocus their spiritual life. He grabbed the attention of those who were at the temple that day, and it grabs our attention even now. And hopefully, it grabs the attention of that 7-year-old boy in Terre Haute, Indiana. The way we refocus our lives may generally be less dramatic. But in some cases, there may be tables in our lives that need turning. Refocusing may be in our prayer life or our work life or how we take care of our physical selves or our family relations. But in all cases, Jesus calls us to turn toward him, just as the Samaritan woman at the well turned toward him. And if we do that, we must be going some way down the path to worshiping as Jesus tells us to do, in spirit and in truth. Amen.